This is Toon Talk Weekly, episode 265. This week, Brad and I dive into the 3D world of Garfield when we watch 2009's The Garfield Show.
This is an outrage!
We cannot let this thing go unpunished.
What a revolting sight, oh glorious leader. That orange monster continues to devour beings such as us.
Yes, General. But thankfully, the galaxy will soon be rid of him and his entire planet.
They just keep getting better.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Toon Talk Weekly. This is Toon Talk Weekly, the weekly cartoon podcast where we talk all about cartoons, a different cartoon, in fact, each and every week. I'm Jake Williams, but I don't do the show alone. Got my buddy Brad Chmielewski here. What's up, man?
Hey, how you doing?
It's going all right, man. I don't know how you subjected me to this week. I entirely blame you for the discussion that's about to happen.
No, not my fault.
What do you mean not your fault?
These cartoons, I didn't make the cartoon.
You might not have made it, but here we are talking about the Garfield Show, the 2009, I guess some websites have it down as 2008, but basically like the most modern reincarnation of a 3D CGI Garfield show. And much like our episode last week covering Sonic Mania Adventures, I think there is a time and a place and a way to reintroduce maybe a popular character from, you know, your childhood or from days gone. I don't know where I sit on this Garfield show, man. This is a very different thing than the previously we've covered the old Garfield Christmas special from like the 87 or something.
Yeah, we did that, I think, in the first year of Toon Talk Weekly. So right. It's been a while since we've really discussed Garfield.
Yeah, and I think I have fond memories of Garfield and Friends, like the actual animated show, the original animated show that was based on the Jim Davis characters, but this thing is a whole other just weird amalgamation of like trying to bring Garfield up to speed. Like, I don't know, man, like when you bring a character into the modern era, you can either like get some really passionate fans behind it, or passionate creators who like love that stuff to make it new and interesting, and also they have a pulse on like what's modern and hip and cool.
Yeah.
You can also just get a company that says, well, we own the rights to Garfield. Let's just make a Garfield show.
And that's what happened here.
Yeah, that's a little bit of what the vibe I was getting. It's kind of this kind of like thought about bringing something a modern kind of reminds me of the Thundercats everybody was up in arms about for looking so different. But it's like, well, if you really loved Thundercats, what were they doing with that IP? So you might as well give it to someone to make something interesting and new.
Right, and that's the original Thundercats wasn't good, so the original Garfield was fine. Like, it was what it was. It was wholesome, I must say.
And one of my favorite things from in recent memory is one of my favorite podcasts is Giant Bomb. It's a video game podcast. Recently, they've been doing a series called Garfield with Gerstmann, where basically one of their members on their staff is forced to play through just awful Garfield games. Like,
okay,
Garfield maybe didn't translate that well to video games as well.
I just don't think the concept of Garfield translates very well. In a whole, like, it's not really that interesting. He's a lazy, fat cat who likes to eat lasagna. Mm-hmm. That's super boring in the grand scheme of things, right?
That's his character depth.
Yeah. I
mean, you've just said it. So, like, Garfield, but also Garfield was like, you know, a bit of like, I don't want to call him sarcastic, but just like very forward, like, I don't know, pushy, I guess, with his own like beliefs and what he liked and stuff. maybe that's better suited for one-liners in a comic strip.
Yeah.
You know, than like a full series. There is a great series, I forget what it was called, Garfield Minus Garfield, I think it was called, where like basically an artist was taking Garfield out of comic strips.
Oh yeah, those were pretty good.
And it's basically John Arbuckle having an existential crisis every time. That's more or less what you can expect, him talking to himself. So, but we're here to talk about 2009 CGI animated Garfield show. You can find this over on, I think we found it over on Netflix is where we ended up watching this.
Yeah.
There's a couple of seasons over there. It's a French-American CGI animated TV show based on the American cartoon strip Garfield. Of course, executive produced by Jim Davis. Jim Davis also originally created the Garfield character, as well as, you know, Garfield universe. Five seasons, 109 total episodes of this show, man.
I cannot believe that it's that many. Yeah.
The last episode aired October 24th, 2016, and it was actually stated in 2017, February, so over a year now that the show's on hiatus. It's kind of strange. The show actually started development in 2007 to coincide with the 30th anniversary of the comic strip. The previous animated series, as we mentioned, was from the 80s, late 80s.
Mm-hmm.
One notable difference here is that the probably famous voice that you're familiar with hearing Garfield was done by Lorenzo Music. He was replaced by Frank Welker, mostly because Lorenzo Music passed away in 2001, so he was not around to do the new show.
But the voice of Garfield here sounds pretty spot on. Like, I felt like that's kind of what he sounded like.
I think, like,
not having them to watch or listen to back to back, I was like, yeah, that sounds like what I think Garfield sounded like.
I feel like the attitude and sort of the delivery reminded me the same, but it just didn't have that same voice for me that I remember as a kid. But of course, you got all your favorites: Garfield, Odie, John Arbuckle, Nirmal, Arlene, and Dr. Liz. Arlene is in this series a little bit more of a love interest for Garfield, and then also you have Liz, who is kind of John's love interest, who he seems to mess it up all the time, trying to go on dates and just doesn't know what he's doing. But I don't have a good way to describe like what you can generally expect from the world of the Garfield show, because my impression of watching a couple of episodes, I watched one from early season one and then watch one from later season two just to see where kind of the series go.
Okay.
It just seems like situational-based episodes. Like, we're going to throw you in this thing. There is no arc. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I watched two episodes in season one, and there was a Halloween episode, and there was a Freaky Friday episode.
So the episodes I watched were like a sort of mistaken identity episode. We can, like, that's, I guess, what you would call it, or like a Trading Places episode sort of thing. And then also an astronaut, like a space episode. It was basically the plot to Armageddon is what it was.
Wait, was that the Freaky Friday one where the alien comes down and swaps their body?
No, this was, we'll get into the episode, but it was a different one. It was about a movie star who didn't want to be a movie star anymore, basically.
Oh, okay. All right.
So, the Garfield show, man. Obviously, we picked this because it's just one of those, like, hey, here's the thing. Let's check it out. Let's see what's going on. Because at the outset, the promotional artwork, the marketing for it, looks pretty neat. I will say that I think my attitude changed very quickly about it as soon as I jumped into the show, as soon as I started scrubbing through the show before picking some episodes. Because there's something about the show, I'll just say up front, feels very unfinished. It reminded me a lot of like a shadowless Jimmy Neutron vibe. Because I think we have fond memories of shows like Jimmy Neutron and early CG television cartoons. But don't remember that stuff was pretty rough, man. Like, whether it was lighting or the depth in scenes or the detail in some of the stuff. Like, and this was 09. I mean, it's 10 years ago now, but still.
Yeah. And a lot of those, like, those 3D cartoons now they're rushed out because it's cheaper to do. And once you have those made, you can kind of just, like, it's almost on autopilot, right? Like, anyone could just, like, hey, go in here, make Garfield walk this way, and we have an episode.
Yeah, and I don't remember what the most recent one. We did a CGI show recently, too, in the last, like, couple of months. I can't quite remember what it was, but I think we both sort of hit on the fact that we assume, knowing our own production pipeline and motion graphics and doing commercial animation, 3D takes a lot longer to get good, to look good, to have the models look nice, to have rigs work well. and all kinds of stuff, especially adding in render time, that it's fairly obvious here, and I saw it, I think, in both of my episodes, that they just reuse some shots that they had. Yeah. So,
well, render time's not an issue. That shouldn't be an issue now. It does take time.
So sometimes I was watching scenes and it just felt like previs. It felt like here's some lightly textured, lightly lit scenes that we're going to kind of like move forward with. Now, don't get me wrong, it did have like also an early vibe of, if you ever played any of like the early Simpsons video games, that was just like everything was very flat color, but also very bright and colorful. It's kind of interesting. But dude, then totally opposite that, then you get shots indoors that just feel like they're just muddy, like dim. Mm-hmm. There's just something strange about this. So let's talk about a couple of episodes, some of the plots, so we can figure out what the Garfield show is all about. Tell me about your episodes you check out this week, Brett.
So I watched this. It's season one, episode two. So there was two parts. Every episode has two parts, an A and a B. The A on this one was a Halloween episode where Garfield basically eats all the Halloween candy. He doesn't have any to give to the kids. John kind of gets mad at him, but not really. He's like, I'm going to go to the store and get more. But then Garfield decides, you know what? I'm going to dress up and go out and get more candy because, you know, I'm a fat cat and I'm just going to eat a lot of candy. He wants peanut brittle. That's what he's after the most.
Of course.
On the news, there's a story about this wild, crazy cat that's in the zoo that's, like, super scary. So Garfield's like, I'm going to dress up like that. You know what's about to happen. The zoo animal escapes. Garfield gets mistaken for the zoo cat. And he ends up in the zoo. And then this cat is now going to terrorize Odie and John. Garfield gets out of the zoo and comes back, and they capture the crazy cat. That's the episode. There's not a lot of candy involved, but that's the Halloween episode.
Perfect for July, really, for August.
And,
right?
And then the episode B was, as I was saying, a Freaky Friday episode where an alien comes down from space, finds Odie, and is like, man, why are you, like, so sad? And he, like, reads his mind and sees that Garfield's always mean to him, so he swaps their body.
Seems like this selfish lasagna-devouring orange creature has it pretty easy. It is time to turn the tables and make things right.
And then there's hijinks that ensue because Odie is now in Garfield's body, but doing Odie things like being a dog and digging up bones. And everyone in the town hates Garfield because he's kind of a jerk to everyone. So they're like trying to capture him. But then Garfield in Odie's body is trying to like stop this from happening because, you know, Odie's going to get ruin his body, basically.
I feel like I've seen this episode, but I've never watched the show. Like, this sounds so familiar.
Well, it's a freaky... They're all the same, right? Mm-hmm. Then the alien comes back, is like, oh, crap, switches their bodies back, and that's the end of the episode. So once again, you're about to talk about mistaken identity episodes. Both the episodes I watch were kind of mistaken identity episodes.
Just like, how much can you do with an orange house cat? That's like what it comes down right to in a weird way. Yeah, man. I checked out what effectively was episode 17A of season one. This was called Fame Fatale. And it was that there was an identical cat to Garfield named Sir Leo, who's like a British movie star. And he like didn't show up on set one day because he's just so strung out, you know, the Hollywood life, like all these movies and junkets and all this stuff he's got to do.
So this is Parent Trap then, right? Or no, this is the trading places with Eddie Murphy, right?
Yeah, kind of, because it turns out John's love interest Liz is also a vet, and it happens to be Sir Leo's vet, And it's like, oh, they had to like sneak Sir Leo into the house. And John says, yeah, Liz, you know, happens to be Sir Leo's vet. He's just really strung out. Like, he needs some time off. So, you know, he's going to stay with us for a little while. And it becomes him and Garfield discussing how their lives are. And you know, Garfield thinks the movie business is easy. And somehow the fans find out. The crowd, the paparazzi crowds their house, knows that Sir Leo is here. And Garfield says, like, well, I'll just be you. Like, can't be that hard, right? So it turns into Garfield, like, wearing his sunglasses. That's really the only differentiator between the two, is that Sir Leo always has sunglasses on.
Okay.
Garfield, like, signs autographs. He, you know, does all the... He goes to commercial shoots. And them trying to show how hard commercials are or acting is just showing how many takes it takes Garfield to say meow one time the correct way in a Catherine commercial. It gets to the point where Garfield tries to switch back, but Sir Leo's like, nah, man. I'm living a great life. I'm enjoying these lasagnas and fish sticks and like whatever else I can eat here. My trainer's not here to stop me. So Garfield then goes on this crusade to try and make Sir Leo look bad so that people will go away.
We'll hate him.
Yeah, but it ends up just getting him more publicity. It's not until he starts doing mean stuff like tying up Odie and then pieing him in the face and people are like, man, that cat's really mean. Or some girl asks for an autograph and he just draws her face and makes her look angry or something like that. So ultimately they switch back places, you know, having learned a little bit more about the life of the other. But it was just like, okay, I feel like I've, you know, seen this sort of, like you're saying, a Parent Trap or whatever, or Trading Places might be. Mm-hmm. Type of episode. Man, I wish I could remember. I really should have written down the... this episode, I will say, was pretty enjoyable. I jumped into an episode from season 2. This would be episode... let's see here. 4A. It's called Blastroid.
Okay. Did season 2 look any better or no?
No, exactly the same. That's why I did it. I was worried when I first started watching the first episode. The lip sync looks a little bit off. So some stuff is a little bit rougher on the edges. There was like brief like clipping in some of the 3D models and things that just bugged me. Crap, man. There's a scene where in the last episode, the two Garfields are looking at each other. If you really look at how his knees are bending, they're like bending into his foot for them to get a shot correctly. It just seems so... And don't get me wrong, dude, it's a show for kids. So, like, no kid's going to see that and think of it, but, like...
Right.
Some stuff's just very strange. So, I will say, this episode had some good chuckles into it. I wouldn't say, like, huge laughs or anything like that, but it's called Blastroid. And essentially, there were these aliens. I guess they had shown up in a previous episode, but Garfield is sort of, like every day, just devouring pasta, eating all these lasagnas. And there's like a little ravioli drone, like alien ravioli, that's like flying around him, beaming back a feed of what he's doing, eating all this lasagna, to this lasagna planet where the citizens are all lasagna. And they're like, we can't stand for this tyranny. This cat has been eating our people for far too long. So they decide to finally wage war on him, and they're actually cool. They're like talking lasagna with limbs and stuff. Like the king, the chieftain, is like a really tall lasagna, which is pretty great.
Okay.
And they say, we're gonna get back at him. Let's launch an asteroid at him, or a blastroid. So they have this like big machine that takes. There's all these around their pasta planet. There's all these meteorites floating around, or meteors, but they're actually meatballs, and they launch one of those towards Earth. Which sets up big news, like coming in, like radar everywhere around the world. It's like, oh my God, this meteor is going to hit Earth. Like, it's going to destroy everything. What can we do? One scientist has created a spaceship that can go up and land on the asteroid to take care of, to basically blow it up and take care of it.
Armageddon style, right?
Exactly. And there was a great line in here where they didn't know who could be the astronaut. Oh, there's nobody to fly this plane. And they said, well, the astronaut suits and the rocket were designed specifically by a cartoonist. And it's like a perfect Garfield and Odie spacesuit. So they're the only people in the world that could go fly this thing. What are the chances?
We have a rocket ship that could fly up and destroy the asteroid before it reaches us.
Thank goodness.
Whew, you said it.
The problem is... But no one can fit into the rocket in order to fly it.
You say that the spaceship's cockpit was designed by a former cartoonist?
Yes. And for some reason, He designed these spacesuits in the shapes of an obese pussycat and an empty-headed puppy dog. Our only hope is to find someone who fits into these spacesuits, who could therefore fly the rocket up and save the world.
But Garfield, I'm gonna guess. Can I guess what might happen in this?
Oh yeah, I want you to guess.
Like, of course, they're gonna land, and then Garfield, they can't blow it up, so Garfield decides he has to eat it all, right?
Oh yeah, exactly. I think they try to detonate this little bomb until Garfield realizes it's a meatball, and he's like, "Oh, I just can't stop eating this." It builds on it though, because now Garfield tethered to the ship is now the size of the meatball, so now Garfield is the meteor. So, like, he has become the asteroid that's going to hit Earth, basically, because he's eaten the entire meatball.
Because he's so big now.
Yeah. And they're still propelling towards Earth. It's not until Odie realizes, like, he can jump on him and make him burp and fart that he gets real small. And then he, like, they get back to Earth and they're fine. Meanwhile, Odie did hurl, like, the bomb into the basically through space towards the pasta planet. I believe it blows up on the pasta planet somehow. So,
pasta planet.
So it reminded me.
I think I've eaten there before.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite Pixar references, right?
What is he doing? Is he eating the asteroid?
The rocket's probe has analyzed the composition of the asteroid. It's made of onion and garlic-infused beef.
Leave it to Garfield to find the biggest meatball in the universe.
You're endangering the mission! Drop the payload and get...
Quiet, I'm eating.
Can the creature really eat the entire blasteroid?
Yes, it can. I have seen it dining before. It is insatiable.
This reminded me of Planet Sheen a little bit more, just because of the weird, like, alien race thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if well, anything, also, it was pretty interesting, but yeah.
Isn't that, like, part of the episode of, there's that Futurama episode where they eat those little creatures that taste like popcorn?
I think and so.
They get mad because they're eating your... The humans are eating all their children.
Right. Or even like we just watched Summer Camp Island and the character tries to eat a marshmallow and the marshmallow is like a living thing.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a strange thing. So I've said a lot of my thoughts on the Garfield show, but Brad, now you know the plots of a handful of episodes and you watched some yourself. What were your thoughts on the show?
Yeah. Definitely you have no reason to watch this, like actually watch it. You can have it on and kind of know what's going to happen. You could read the descriptions of the episodes. And like I said, I just guessed that one. Like, you're going to know what happened. Like, they are so generic. It's like, hey, we're going to take Garfield, the maybe outside of, like, you know, Mickey Mouse or, you know, some of the, like, top-tier cartoons. Like, he's one of the most recognizable thing or cartoon characters out there. Yep. We're going to take him and put him in every generic situation there has ever been.
That's kind of what it feels like.
Yeah, and that's going to be the show. We don't really even have to think about writing these episodes because they're already written. They're basically written probably by bots. Like, you know, it's almost one of those shows. For a while, people were talking about all those, like, YouTube kind of kids algorithm computer-generated shows.
Yeah.
This could totally fall into that camp of, this wasn't made by people.
Yeah, there's just something missing here. You know, for Garfield being such a beloved character, I think we'd both recommend stick to Garfield and Friends, the old 80s, 90s show. Like, that show had a lot of good stuff in it. As well as, like, that show featured a pretty large cast of characters, like, a lot of other animals that also kind of helped support Garfield, so that kind of helped out. But maybe we got unlucky, and there are some arc episodes where you, like, meet recurring characters and develop relationships a little bit more. But, of course, a property like Garfield, like, you're not looking for that, like, deep, engaging, character-driven story, I think.
No. Both my episodes had... Nurble. Is it Nurble or
Nurmal? Yeah, the cat they don't like, they always put in a box and send to Timbuktu or wherever.
Yeah, so she or he, like, I think it's a boy, but I thought it was a girl in Garfield and Friends, but I think it's actually a boy. He was in both episodes I watched.
He was in neither of the ones I watched. Yet I've seen there are multiple Garfields in my episodes. So kind of an interesting thing to know that it exists. Look, doing 3D art and 3D animation is like a massive undertaking. We totally understand that. But of course, looking at some of the other properties out there, it's pretty bland. Like it doesn't pop or stand out to be anything else. And some of the reviews I read for the show seemed like they went easy on it. I'm not saying trash it, but they just said like, it's a thing.
But I've seen people online go back and talk about Toy Story and be like, man, hard to watch Toy Story 1 now because you see the shadows and the reflections and things aren't as polished as they are now. That's maybe the hardest thing about 3D animation that we may end up, we have seen people starting to go back to like 2D hand-drawn stuff because it kind of looks the same as you move forward through time, but 3D animation changes so much that it dates shows very quickly and dates movies. And so that kind of becomes a problem, really.
Right. And if you get to a point where I think even the cell stuff coming back or hand-drawn stuff coming back, you get to a point where if a computer is the tool that lots of people can make it, stuff starts to look the same, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then now you're like, well, I want a hand-drawn approach by this artist style or this team of artist style, that kind of thing. So I don't know. So I think we're going to recommend stick with Garfield and Friends. If you really want 3D Garfield, there's a ton of it on Netflix because there's all a ton of the episodes are over there. But I don't know, man. It's they made me like sad a little bit. Like I was like, oh, Garfield was one of the characters up there with Sonic the Hedgehog and some others as a kid that I was just a good character that I liked. Seeing him like this just makes me not feel good. I don't know. It's a weird feeling. So
yeah.
So thanks for bringing this show to my attention. Now I don't have to watch it again. Where can people find you, Brad, when you're not recording Toon Talk Weekly?
So you can follow me on Twitter. It's @brad. And then my blog is digitalhitchhiker.com.
Great. Guys, go check them out over there. You can follow me on Twitter @JacobWilliams. And of course, if you want more Toon Talk Weekly, we're all over social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Google+ is @ToonTalkWeekly. Of course, ToonTalkWeekly @gmail.com. You can email us, let us know what you think of the show or any episodes or cartoons you'd like us to cover. If you have any other Shirt Tales questions, we keep seeming to get some of those every now and then, so we'll be happy to answer them. Finally, ToonTalkWeekly.com, the main hub for the show where you can find any and all episodes we've done up to this point. Whew. All right. Garfield show done. So we'll see what we come up with next week, but that's going to do it for this week's episode of Toon Talk Weekly. We'll be back next week. Another cartoon.
Take care.
About the show, visit ToonTalkWeekly.com or follow us on Twitter @ToonTalkWeekly.